It comes as no surprise to us that wedding invitations are a big deal. When Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, married Kate Middleton, the wedding invitation featured the wedding breakfast menu. And that menu included marinated salmon, crab, lobster, organic lamb, spring vegetables, English asparagus, Jersey royal potatoes, sauce Windsor, followed by a trio of Berkshire honey ice cream, sherry trifle, and chocolate parfait. And if the Laurent Perrier Rose champagne wasn't your thing, well then, there was coffee and fresh mint tea. Now who would want to pass up that kind of spread? Well, apparently a lot of people did in the story that Jesus tells about a king who had a sumptuous wedding banquet for his son. We want to ask, what's wrong with those people? And let's hold that thought for a moment. As with most of our Lord's stories, we find the real meaning beneath the surface. So when he tells the leaders of Jerusalem about a king hosting a banquet for his son, well, he's talking about God his Father. That should be easy enough for us to figure out. And the most notable thing in the story about the king is how eager he is to have guests come to the wedding splash for his son. We're told that he sends out his servants in person to invite the guests. Not once, but two times. Tell them, the king said, I have everything ready. The veal is roasted. The wine has been brought up from the cellar. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. When we look beneath the imagery here, we find a picture of a God who wants to share his life with us. From the first moment of creation, to the sending of his Son into this world, to the ever-present Spirit in our midst, God is reaching out to us, asking us to draw near, inviting us to be a part of his life, a part of his love. An English poet once said, to most people, even good people, God is a belief. But to the saints, God is an embrace. What a beautiful image for us to think about. God is an embrace. He wants us to draw close to him. And that's the very point that the Lord Jesus is making in the story about the king. But as human history has shown again and again, we have the option always to refuse the king's invitation. We can say no. We can. In the same way those guests did. As Jesus put it, they refused to come. We find something rather hard-headed in that description, an unwillingness to accept what the king had offered to them. We would be right to give the name sin, that word, sin, to this refusal, the stubbornness to do our own thing. Augustine, that great sinner turned saint, once suggested in a sermon that sin is like being bent over, stooped. Augustine said sin makes us able only to look at ourselves. That's a good image. We're unable, he says, to stand upright before our Creator or stand upright before one another to see the world as it really is. There is something very right in that description of our being stooped over. But for no other reason than sin, and whatever form it may take, sin always has us look at ourselves, at what we want, at satisfying our selfishness. What better image to describe our self-centeredness than being stooped over? We could say it started with a selfish desire for an apple, and it's continued in every age by our own wanton desires and our self-will. We'd rather sneak a bite from that apple than sit at the banquet that God offers us. That's tough to figure out. And yet, it is an option we take again and again and again. Of course, here is where the story that Jesus tells us gets it right once more. The simple fact, as we've learned from experience, is that sin catches up with us. We do pay the price. As Jesus describes the net results to us, the relationship between the king and the invited guest is ruptured, even ruined. Those who were invited were not worthy to come, the king says. After the servants tell the king that his guests had better things to do with their time than spend it with him. We should feel real sadness as we see the consequences of the choices that those guests made. Oh, let's be real here. The choices that we have made against God. There was a Dennis the Menace comic one time that showed a very sad and weepy Dennis sitting in his rocking chair in the corner where his bad behavior has landed him. Dennis turns his head to explain to his dad how he got there. He says, "I was having lots of fun, then Mom caught me." And so it goes with every person's life as we find ourselves in the corner, away from God, because we thought we were having the time of our life when in fact we were just getting ourselves into deeper trouble. It's the logical outcome of choosing to reject God. We will find ourselves alone and very, very sad, with nobody to blame but ourselves. At the end of the day, we should decide if we're going to be like those guests in the story or if we are going to be a little bit smarter than they were. Will we accept the life and the love that God continues to offer us? Or will we fool ourselves into thinking our sack lunch is 10 times better than any heavenly spread that God can give us? That is the question that we have to answer. The invitation from God is in our hands right now, at this moment. What we do now is going to determine a whole lot about where we eat.